friend the text line got a couple responses to what Random Mike brought to the table there. Most importantly, this. So we've had tweeters identifying themselves again on the text line.
Love it.
And it has come to our attention that tweeter that we've been referring to as Fried Yo.
Good tweeter.
It's actually pronounced Fried Yo.
Our apologies.
I don't know. I don't know why or what that means at all.
It makes less sense.
But we issue an apology to Fried Yo. Josh has a top five.
I do have a top five. I also have sound from the PGA Championship. I don't know if we want to do that now or later. It's pretty evergreen.
Let's hold it after your top five.
Okay. Okay.
We're going to have some time.
Top five.
Now, this is top five potential duels or duels that you want to see.
This is people who would get into one. So it is not
potential duels.
It is not straight up X versus Y.
Okay.
It is that coach there I could see being a player in a duel.
Got it.
So it is not five matchups.
So five, the top five Big Ten coaches who would likely be involved in a Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher-esque spat.
Yeah, it's a little wordy.
It's fine.
But I didn't really have time to get it narrowed down in a succinct fashion.
As long as people get the point, which I think they do.
That's what we're doing here.
God, come on. Take forever.
Number five.
Man, there were quite a few names I had to leave off.
Yeah, when you go down the list, it could be everybody in a specific scenario.
I got about seven that I pegged as like really being possible candidates for this. Number five is Brett Bielema.
If Illinois ever gets good, if Illinois ever does anything, they don't even have to be good.
Mediocre. Or even gets that one signature win. Like, hey, we beat Ohio State today.
I could definitely see him starting some, kicking up some dust with Fat Fitzgerald up at Northwestern, you know, for some in-state recruiting stuff.
Yeah. Just a sour individual.
Lovey just didn't.
No.
Lovey's just like, we're not going to mess with that because we're barely even recruiting in the state. We're going to go into the transfer portal and we're going to hire an assistant coach from St. Louis and try and get in on that.
Also, NFL coach, like it's a fraternity. We're all brothers.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Not going to get it bogged down in that stuff.
That's a sneaky good inclusion to the list, Josh. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
good
you.
Work.
Number four.
Let's hope the list continues. It's PJ Fleck.
Ooh, surprised he's not higher.
He's got that smug air about him. Yeah.
Easy target.
He seems defensive just in general.
Well, the thing about PJ is...
He has a new face, yeah.
He has a new face.
People forget.
And for that reason, and a few others, he is different than the other Big Ten coaches, right?
That's a good way to put it.
He is a bit of a...
bit of a pretty boy.
Well... I think he likes to refer to himself as, or he likes to project that he is sort of like self-made, you know, that he is not sort of from the, I played Big Ten football and I am Big Ten football and I love Big Ten football. Like it's not necessarily about that. Whether he wants to do it this way or not, I think he wants to project that, hey, this is my program. We're going to make Minnesota the way we're going to and row the boat and all that stuff. And that tends to rub people the wrong way.
We're the little guy. We got to punch up.
It is different than the rest of the conference.
It is.
That is the main reason why I actually think PJ Fleck is a really good fit at Minnesota. And I'm not sure how it would work at a place like, I don't know, when his name gets thrown out there for SEC jobs or bigger jobs. Maybe it works at a place like, you know, like Mississippi State, where you could say, hey, look, we're the underdog. Let's punch up, like you just said. I don't know if it, like, does that fly or can you adjust that for Ohio State?
Yeah, you can't do that at, like,
I don't think
Florida
so.
State or no. something like that. No, you're a brand at that point.
So all of those reasons make him a pretty easy, you know, a high target on this list. I'm surprised it's not higher. But keep going.
Three. Combination of three and five.
Number three.
Number three is Scott Frost. Dear old Nebraska, you.
Gotta win some more.
Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's...
Once he wins some more, he's gonna start talking again.
He is. He's on this probation right now. If he comes back next year, he'd probably still be a little like, okay, I don't wanna rock the boat here. The ice is getting thicker, but I'm still on thin ice.
I would love to see him win and what that, you know, what the conversation is like without or with Trev Alberts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's definitely been toned down since he's arrived because, like I said earlier, he now has a boss.
Yes.
Bill Moos was technically his boss before, but he was not. Scott Frost was running the athletic department. Now Trev Alberts is certainly running the athletic department. So, you know, there was the image, which you've seen and was tweeted at us earlier, the one where they got the NCAA violations and they had to come out and talk, and Scott had to just kind of stand there and basically be kind of reprimanded. That was, you know, that was a message.
How do you think the pressers go if, you know, people do the look at the schedule, win-loss game, if they beat Oklahoma and they end up kind of running the table a little bit and they're like 6-0, 8, when's that Michigan game where theoretically Nebraska and Michigan would be undefeated? Is that the game I'm thinking of? Am I making this up? Your face is telling me that I'm way off.
What are you trying to say?
How would the press conferences go if Nebraska starts like 6-0? 7-0. Because there's people looking at the schedule going, you know what? If you can get over the hurdle of Oklahoma, this team could rattle off a 6-0 start or something like that.
I think if they were to, this is sort of answering your question, sort of not. I think if they were to have a good season this year, there would be some sort of a want to be like, hey, look, I told you we could do this. I told you we could get it done.
Told you we were close.
But ultimately, I think that they'd hold back a little bit.
Yeah, if he's 8-0 going into that Minnesota game.
I don't think it happens.
I don't think it does either.
I don't think it happens this
year. But there are some people that, like, you know, the people stirring the Kool-Aid.
Other people could do that talk for us. We haven't arrived yet. We know that.
You didn't have enough chaw in your mouth.
Here comes two.
Number two.
I don't hear him talked about. We haven't talked about him a lot today when this issue has come up. James Franklin. A little fiery. Wants very much for you to take him seriously, and he will tell you how good he is at this coaching college football thing and how in demand he is.
Been humbled a little bit.
Yeah.
Tends
to happen every late November with him.
Yeah. Well, you're in the same division as a couple teams, specifically Ohio State. I don't know about this inclusion, Josh. I think a lot of people want James Franklin to be a thing on that level, but I don't know.
I think you could get him worked up if you found the nerve and
Once again, this all kind of revolves around, hey, you gotta win some games.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So if they win, basically you're asking me, if they win, would he be insufferable?
Yeah, I guess more or less. Yeah, that's kind of the...
If they win, would James Franklin be insufferable?
That's a good way to look at this.
Maybe that's a better way to do the list, like we're doing this mid-list. If this person were to be like on the top of the... If they're really feeling themselves, how annoyed would you be with them?
Mm.
I don't know that Franklin registers that high on that list for me.
Okay. Yeah, I think if we're doing it that way, I think Schiano might be a good candidate. I know it's a tall ask, but if Rutgers ever got good with Schiano at the helm.
We know we could do it here.
Yeah.
We could.
Lunch pail.
We're coming for it all.
Blue collar.
Why stop here?
I think we all know how this list was going to play out. And I will tell you, it played out exactly like that.
Make it so, number one.
Number one.
The Big Ten coach most likely for an SEC-style beef is Harbaugh, of course.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Clear-cut number one.
Get him good and confident again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's certainly liable to say what is on his mind.
He might have a fun little presser at Media Days.
He has a very specific and certain way he thinks about football, and he thinks that all the other ways are wrong. Like, that's important here. He's mm-hmm. principled.
Yes.
Not afraid to say what it's on his mind. He's the perfect candidate.
He doesn't have good interpersonal skills. Like, I think that's also part of this.
When he wants to say something, he doesn't say it right.
Yeah.
And the cherry on top, he's the coach at Michigan.
A brand, a blue blood in the sport.
Yeah. There was never a doubt.
That is back. Or had a year, however you want to define it.
I'm going to go with had a year, but they can talk about whatever they would like until they get drilled by Ohio State in November.
Which
they're going
will
to.
Happen.
Yeah, they're going to.
For sure.
I'm excited about it.
Bet on it, literally. Promo code Happer.
Yeah, I really like Michigan feeling good about itself just to be torn apart. And the cool thing about it is Harbaugh will just dip.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah.
The first good NFL job that he has offered, he will dip.
That's Josh's top five. I just watched Tiger Woods duff a chip on some thick rough.
It's a sandwich weighing him down.
So he's on his last hole here, I think. His round has gone from good to now pretty bad. He's three over. But recovered from that chip. I think he's looking at a bogey probably to finish off his round here. So I think he's going to be four over for Tiger. It was the sandwich. Mm,
yeah.
The sandwich and the walk from the parking lot.
Weighed him down.
All right. That's Josh's top five. Like your thoughts on it. You can call, text. 402-951-1620. You can tweet at Happer Show. We will. How about this? Why don't we read a text to say, hey, look, this text line works. Fleck comes across as from Travis. Fleck comes across as having a chip on his shoulder for being underrated. Yeah.
Why won't people take me seriously?
I think that's what he wants you to believe, right? And he's at a place at Minnesota that kind of embraces and embodies that. You're not going to win big at Minnesota, but you could have a season like they did a couple years ago where they win 11 games. It's like, hey, this is a cool place to be. Why not us? That whole thing. But you're not expected to do anything there. If you go 6-6 one year, your fans don't go to the games. But if you go 11-2, or if you win the Big Ten West, your stadium will be full. Underdog program. That exists, and I think that's how Fleck wants it to be. All right, we'll come back. More up next on 1620 The Zone.